You're listening to Central Time. I'm Shereen Seward, in for Rob Barrett. Now, we're all familiar with the saying, you get what you pay for. Translated to the kitchen, that can certainly mean invest in quality ingredients. And our next guest will 100% attest to that. But it can also relate to time spent prepping and cooking, this idea that only the meals where you've meticulously followed step after step after step and let your ingredients bake and simmer and stew for ages, those are the ones that are going to be satisfying or worth making. And any recipe that claims to come together faster than that, gotta be too good to be true, right? Or it's not including prep time or the time for flavors to really meld. Well, our next guest is here to tell us to throw those ideas right out the window or down the garbage disposal or the compost bin, pick your kitchen metaphor. On this week's edition of Food Friday, we learn that you can be fast and you can be flavorful. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What time-saving hacks have you come up with in the kitchen? Do you have a go-to quick recipe that's a crowd-pleaser? What ingredients are the flavor heroes for you that you can be speedy with using? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email us at ideas@wpr.org. Allie Rosen is a cookbook author and host of the New York food show called Potluck. Her new cookbook is called 15-Minute Meals, Truly Quick Recipes That Don't Taste Like Shortcuts. Allie, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks so much for having me.
You're a mom, so I suppose it's obvious already, but how did you get motivated to make such a well-thought-out and executed cookbook devoted to helping people make entire meals in 15 minutes or less that taste really good?
Yeah, I mean, it was really, I mean, yes, being a mom, but it was also, I think, as a lot of us had during COVID, of just being trapped inside and cooking three meals a day for my whole family, and I couldn't do it anymore in a way that took time, because it felt like whenever I was done cooking one meal, I was on to the next meal. And I was like, there has to be a faster way. So my son and I started timing ourselves and trying to find ways to cook things quickly. And it suddenly became apparent to me that, like, you could actually make great things with 15 minutes if you just kind of knew what you were starting with and you had the right ingredients. And a lot of the cookbooks that I kept turning to that were for sort of quick and easy meals were 30-minute meals or 45-minute meals. And that, you know, when you're in a time crunch, 30 minutes is a really long time. Yeah. So that's kind of where it started.
Just looking through the recipes, it almost feels like they're incomplete when you just first glance at it. Like a few steps got cut off at the printer. They really are great, but they're really complete, aren't they?
Yeah. I mean, the goal of this was to not just be like a 15-minute side or a 15-minute, you know, you prep it and then stick it in the oven for an hour and it only took you 15 minutes. It was really start to finish. Can you have a whole meal on the table in 15 minutes?
Well, some of the rules of the road you share for helping people get the most out of their time and your book, I want to go through a few of these, starting with broilers. People probably use this less often than the main baking function. I know I do. Why do you love the broiler so much?
The broiler is basically like a reverse grill, you know, and we are all so excited in the summer to go outside and get that high heat, that char, right? Like it does something to food to have that level of high heat. And for some reason, we're not willing to do that in our ovens. We sort of think it's going to blow everything up or start a fire. But I mean, the broiler is your friend. Like the broiler is that high heat. It can cook something really fast. It can give you that flavorful char without a lot of work and effort. So if people just sort of look at their oven as a reverse grill with the broiler setting, that I think can help you kind of remove the stigma around the broiler.
What kinds of foods are best prepared with a broiler? I mean, you mentioned like charring. So I'm thinking like charring vegetables and things like that. What else?
Totally. I mean, anything that's thin. I mean, it's great for meat and fish that is thin. So if you have, you know, thinly sliced chicken breast, or you have a piece of tilapia, or I mean, any thinly sliced meat, I mean, people sort of tend to think that for proteins, you need a lot of time. But I mean, if you put a thinly sliced chicken breast under the broiler for 4 minutes, I mean, it's done, which is less time than it would take if you're doing like heating up like frozen chicken nuggets. You know what I mean? So the broiler can really be faster and healthier than some of the pre-made options that you think are the fastest things.
What about knives? Having sharp knives, how important is that? And I never sharpen my knives. I need to do that.
It's one of those things where we all, like, people will get like a knife block for their wedding, and then 20 years later, they're still using the same knives. I mean, yeah. And we don't, you know, we don't quite realize that, like, it's not a gimmick, you know, when you're in a restaurant and you see the chefs sharpening their knives. You know, a sharp knife is actually a safer knife. You're not going to slip as much, and you're going to be able to cut things faster and more accurately. So it's something that, like, yes, takes a little bit of time. And I really advocate for just buying an electric knife sharpener. I mean, people think it has to be some fancy thing. I mean, you can buy a $10 or $15 electric knife sharpener and do it once a month, and your cooking will go so much faster. I mean, it really takes less than 5 minutes to sharpen all your knives, and suddenly you've kind of created this immediate shortcut for yourself.
So you really can do that yourself. It's not some, it doesn't.
Yeah. No, you don't need to take them to a special person to sharpen the knives. I mean, it's so easy and quick. And again, it's getting in those little habits of using those things that are sort of out of our normal comfort zone, but aren't actually difficult.
Well, talk a little bit about how to use time efficiently. I mean, you know, getting one step going and working on another step simultaneously, sometimes that can be hard.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that that's kind of the big piece of this, is to know where you can take your shortcuts and to not feel bad about it. So I'm a big proponent of using frozen vegetables, you know, jarred vegetables, you know, canned beans, things like that. The quality of those ingredients has just dramatically skyrocketed in recent years. So if you're buying frozen organic peas versus something that's been sitting in the grocery store fresh but has been sitting there for 3 or 4 days, you're actually getting more nutrients from the flash frozen peas than you are from a seemingly fresh vegetable.
Really?
And a lot of that has to do, yeah. And I mean, a lot of that has to do with, you know, we think of, like, when, you know, when I was a kid, the frozen stuff, I mean, freezers were different, right? Like, there was no flash freezing technology. Mm-hmm. Our freezers had a lot more freezer burn. They didn't close as effectively. So something sitting on the door would get a lot of freezer burn because it was defrosting. And we just live in a different era of ingredients. So when something is picked right at the peak of freshness and then it's flash frozen, I mean, what flash frozen means is its temperature is brought down super quickly. So the way that something gets freezer burn is if it freezes really slowly, right? And that allows ice crystals to form. Something that's flash frozen is just put in super cold temperatures so that it immediately freezes and it really locks in all the nutrients and flavors. So stop thinking to yourself, oh my God, if I'm pulling out a bag of, you know, pre-sliced broccoli florets, that somehow, like, you're doing less than if you chopped that broccoli yourself. Like, you are getting the same broccoli, if not better, and sometimes less expensive by buying it frozen. So, I mean, that's a huge thing. You know, using canned ingredients. I mean, when we look at, like, canned seafood, you know, we think of, again, like, from years gone by, that it was just this horrible, you know, bottom of the barrel stuff. And now, I mean, you can find, you know, and there's ways to look, you know, there's little labels. Like, I love, like, the Marine Steward Council has a little blue fish on there, which sort of indicates that it's sustainably caught, that it's good. I mean, there are so many ways to kind of look at the ingredients, you know, make sure that, again, if it's stored in olive oil instead of in water, there are higher quality versions of these ingredients. So it doesn't necessarily mean that you're buying the worst version of something just because it's from a jar or it's frozen.
I got to tell you, I've been using frozen diced onions, and I keep a bag in my freezer all the time. I'm telling you, it's a game changer.
Yes. And I mean, we have to sort of accept these little shortcuts and not feel bad about them, because we accept shortcuts in every other part of our lives. I mean, we're all used to one-click ordering, you know, stuff online that we used to have to go to the store to get, but we're beating ourselves up about pre-sliced onions. I mean, just let your life be easier. like, make it easy.
Exactly. Is there anything, though, that you really, really insist has to be bought fresh?
Yeah, I mean, I think lemon juice is a big one. You know, I think, you know, the fake lemon juice just does not taste the same. And I think anything with a lot of additives, you know, if you look at, you know, beans are a great example. You can buy canned beans that are organic, that are in, you know, where if you look at the ingredients, it just says, you know, salt and beans, and that's it. And then you can get them with a lot of flavors added, a lot of preservatives. I mean, my rule of anything that you buy that's not fresh is look at the ingredients. If you don't know what all the ingredients are, you know, maybe that's a problem, right? I mean, it's the same thing with, like, you can buy pre-cooked rice. That's great. Don't buy the pre-cooked rice that has all the flavors and stuff in it. Add your own, like, adding in spices does not take a lot of time. But the amount of sodium and junk that can be in some of these flavor packets can be, you know, not as healthy. So it's finding those shortcuts while also understanding the places where, okay, fresh spices, good lemon juice, you know, higher quality sauces and things, you know, those things matter, but the shortcuts do not.
All right. We're going to get into some of the recipes in just a moment. We're talking with Ali Rosen, author and host of the New York food show Potluck, talking about her latest cookbook. It's called 15 Minute Meals. And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. What questions do you have for our guest? Have you cooked full meals in 15 minutes yourself and had great results? What are some tips and tricks you use? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email us at ideas@wpr.org. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Shereen Seward in for Rob Ferret. Right now, we're picking up our talk with author Ali Rosen, talking about her third cookbook. It's called 15 Minute Meals, and you can call in 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email us at ideas@wpr.org. Let's go to James in Door County, who has a question for us. Hi, James. Thanks for calling.
Hello. I have a question about garlic.
Okay.
We love garlic. We always put in extra for every recipe, but peeling and mincing the garlic is a chore. And I've used the bottled minced garlic, but it sort of has a preservative taste or something. And I'm wondering if your guest has any recommendations for either minced or already peeled garlic to shorten that portion of the recipe.
Okay, great. Thanks, James. Ali, what do you think about garlic?
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree with you that pre-minced garlic is sitting in preservatives, basically, and it really does change the flavor. I think that pre-peeled garlic is absolutely amazing. It's, again, like one of the great inventions. I mean, it doesn't take away from the flavor in the way that pre-mincing it does. I also find that some of the peeled garlic, like sitting in olive oil, sort of confit in olive oil, that also tastes great. But yeah, once you start cutting it up, it really, you know, it just changes the flavor of it. I will also say that, you know, something that I like to do for stir fries and things is, like, you can just, if you have a blender, like throw a bunch of pre-peeled garlic into the blender with some olive oil. And again, if you have flavors that you use all the time, like I love to use ginger, or I love to use soy sauce, or I love to have, you know, basil, you can put that all in the blender, like blend it up so you don't have to chop anything, and then put them in ice cube trays. As long as there's some oil in it, it'll freeze really nicely. And then when I'm doing stir fries, I can just literally, like, throw one of those garlic chunks in there. There's also great, you know, like if you go to Trader Joe's, some of these places that have the frozen garlic, the frozen pre-minced garlic is much better than the canned. So if you really want to do absolutely no work, that's great. But yeah, I agree with you. I mean, garlic is so essential, but that pre-minced garlic just really, the flavor is off to me.
I'm glad you brought that up, because I like to buy the peeled garlic too, but it comes in this enormous package.
And yeah.
It's like, what am I going to do with 10 pounds of garlic with three people
in
my
house? Yeah, freeze it. I mean, you can either freeze them whole, or, I mean, I really, like, the blender is your friend. Like, blend it up with some olive oil, put them in ice trays, and then just save them. And it's like, I always feel like, you know, it's one of those things that's so easy to do. And then you feel like so smug with yourself. Like, yeah, I have this thing already made and I'm throwing it into my stir fry, you know, and it like didn't take any effort. And in fact, because you're using your blender, it actually uses less effort because you didn't have to take out a knife. So, you know, it's those kind of like little things you can do. But if you don't want to do that yourself, I mean, really, Trader Joe's, a few other places have sort of the pre-minced frozen ones. And I think those are great. Just look at the ingredients. You know, there really shouldn't be any extras in there. It should just be garlic and at most olive oil.
That is a great tip. And I'm glad you shared it. Well, we will get to the recipes, but I do want to go take another phone call. This is James from Milwaukee now. Hi, James. How are you?
Good. Thank you for taking my call. I appreciate that.
Sure.
I wanted to bring up, I know you're talking about vegetables. What about organic fruits like raspberries, blueberries versus he was talking about having it frozen is better. Is that going to make a difference? Frozen is better in that respect too, or is that different?
It's the same nutritionally. It's not the same texturally. So, I mean, I think that with vegetables that you would nor anything that you wouldn't cook isn't going to hold up from being frozen, right? Like in the same way that if you wanted, you know, leafy vegetables, it's not going to work in the same way as if you were cooking them. So frozen spinach is great in a stir fry. It's not great for a spinach salad. It's kind of the same with fruit. So if you make a smoothie every morning and you have those frozen fruits, you're going to get the same nutritional value, you know, the same flavor out of a frozen fruit. But yeah, you wouldn't necessarily want to eat it raw, but it's great for baking. It's great for smoothies. And yeah, again, it's like you can find something that was picked at the height of the season and is so much better than, I mean, I think about some of like the strawberries and stuff that you get like in the dead of winter that were grown halfway around the world and they kind of taste like nothing. I mean, you're so much better off if you're making a smoothie or if you're baking something to use a frozen fruit rather than, yeah, a flavorless strawberry.
Okay. Yeah, great questions. I love those questions with the callers. I want to talk about a couple of the recipes that you shared with us. The broiled romaine with gorgonzola and pistachios. Tell us about this one.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because we sort of think of lettuce as something that cannot be cooked, but romaine is really hearty and it takes on a lot of flavor. So unlike, you know, leeks or cabbages or some other, you know, leafy things that sort of A, take a lot longer to cook, but also have a lot more flavor. Romaine is just this beautiful canvas where it feels like, you know, it's thick. It feels filling.
It's meaty
but it can
almost
take on
flavors. A meaty
yeah, it's like a meatier kind of vegetable. But yeah, and then you can put, you know, I mean, it's this particular recipe, you know, has a specific type of cheese, but you could do any soft cheese on it, any kind of nuts. And then something acidic on top, you know, a pomegranate molasses or a lemon or something to really give it that pop.
Pomegranate
and
molasses.
You have kind of a meal.
I've never heard of
yeah.
Is that pomegranate? Can you buy it or do you just make that? Is that something that you just put together?
You can buy it. I mean, go to, you know, the international section of any large grocery store or, you know, one of the things that I say in the book, and I know that for some people they might say like, well, I live in a smaller area and I don't have access to these ingredients. Mm-hmm. They're not at my grocery store. Well, we all now have access to two-day shipping from anywhere, you know? Mm-hmm. So pomegranate molasses is this great – it's basically just concentrated pomegranate juice. So it's kind of like balsamic vinegar but with a like a fruitier twist on it. And it's so good for drizzling on top of salads, on top of meats, on top of, you know, anything. And so if you don't find it in the international section of your grocery store, then – you know, order it online. It's shelf stable. I mean, we kind of don't think about ordering shelf stable ingredients online, mm-hmm. but a lot of the sort of most flavorful sauces that you can buy that, you know, are just really good, high quality ingredients, you know, not, you know, a bunch of junk sort of put together, but something like pomegranate molasses was really just is one ingredient. It's just pomegranate. It's boiled down. Just order it online if you can't find it.
It sounds fantastic. And I'm definitely going to try it. Another recipe you shared that I want to try is the ground beef with kimchi tacos. What do you love about it?
Well, I just love the simplicity of it. You know, I think, I mean, kimchi is a polarizing ingredient, but I would say if you've eaten it straight and you say this isn't for me, it's kind of like anything that's pickled, right? Like in moderation, it's just a fantastic ingredient. And it really cuts through the meatiness of beef. So you have that crunch of the taco shell. you have the acidity of the kimchi, and you have, you know, just ground beef, which hard to argue with that. And then I think that recipe also has cucumbers, but you could put kind of anything else kind of crunchy in there. And again, like all you're doing is cooking the beef, and you have this delicious sort of seemingly fancy, seemingly exciting meal that really doesn't take very long. So, I mean, I just love that. Adding kimchi in little spurts to things, I think, is huge.
And then there's one other one. I want to try this one this weekend. White wine, goat cheese, and spinach pasta. And dry January's over, right? So tell us about that one.
Exactly. I mean, I just, you know, I think that goat cheese is like one of the gifts that just always gives. And
yeah.
I think it adds, it's got the tang, it's got the texture, it gives you creaminess. And so that's just like, you know, and white wine. I mean, again, if you cook it, you know, you're going to cook off the alcohol. So even if you are someone who doesn't drink, but it's just those flavors meld together so well. And it's so simple. I mean, I think we all think of pasta as being kind of the ultimate 15-minute meal, but it's sort of, how do we get out of this like jarred sauce land, or just like the things that feel super easy to us? And when you have simple ingredients like goat cheese and white wine, it's not taking extra time, but you're really giving a lot of flavor without a lot of work.
Well, we have about 30 seconds left, and I have to know, what are you having for dinner tonight? What are you making your family?
Oh, we are doing tacos for sure tonight. I think we're doing chicken tacos, because my kids on a Friday, they always are ready for tacos. So yeah, we do a lot of tacos in my house.
Well, I think that sounds delicious. I wish I could join you. Thank you so much for joining us. I learned a lot, and I'm really inspired to get in the kitchen. Thanks, Allie.
Thank you for having me.
Allie Rosen is an author and the host of New York food show called Potluck. We talked to her today on Food Friday about her third and latest cookbook. It's called 15-Minute Meals, and it will get you in the kitchen and out of the kitchen in absolute record time.